Praise the Lord. There we go. Okay. Now, can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk today about something that Jesus taught. We're going to look at a parable that Jesus used to convey truth to religious people. Okay? And in this parable, it's a story. It's a fictional story. Now, it may have had some basis in reality. I don't know. Jesus often used real-life things to teach concepts that go far beyond that time and that place. And this is one of those parables that applies to all of us. He talks to this attorney who stood up, this lawyer at the time, one who would have known the law of Moses, who would have known the Torah, as it was known at that time, what we call the Old Testament. And this lawyer tested him. We're going to look in the 10th chapter of Luke's gospel record. And I think this is where we're going to find that this teaching is for everybody across all times. Even here today. Even with what we're doing. And in fact, I believe it applies to what we're doing today. Some of Jesus' teachings were directed at everybody, and others were specifically designated for individual people or groups, like preachers or teachers or priests. We're going to learn today exactly what Almighty God's Word tells us, what He teaches us. And again, this, as I've said many times before, is not my opinion. It's not my thoughts, other than what I'm guided by God to give you. This isn't somebody else's opinion. I'm not giving you something out of a book other than what comes from God's Word and how He's inspired me to share it with you. So, we're going to look in the 10th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 25, and I'm going to read through verse 37. And this is what we hear there. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this guy's an expert in the law. So he knows what the law says, okay? He knows what he's to do. But he's testing Jesus. So Jesus said, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So Jesus knew he was an expert. Jesus knew he knew. So Jesus threw the question back at him. So Jesus asked him, what's your rendering of it, or what's your reading of it? And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with some of your strength, and as much of your mind as you can get. No, that's not what it says. No, I'm sorry, it says all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said to him, you've answered rightly. Do this, and you'll live. Love God completely, and love your neighbor as yourself, and you will live. But this lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Valid question, right? No, he was looking for a loophole. He's looking for a way out. He's looking for some kind of way to step aside from what he just told Jesus was in the law. This is God's Word, what we call the Old Testament. Wanted to justify himself. So now Jesus, in his grand scale way of doing things, he brings a story. We call it a parable. And he says to him, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and then departed, leaving him half dead. Leaving him half dead. And now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. The priest wanted nothing to do with that, see? The priest was a religious guy. And this guy laying in the ditch all bloody and naked, obviously was not a religious guy. At least in the priest's eyes. And, after he passed by the other side, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked and passed by on the other side. So you got two religious guys that come walking by. They see this man on the side of the road. He's been beaten. He's been robbed. He's been stripped. He's been denied his own dignity. And instead of rendering aid, instead of helping, what did they do? They turned a blind eye. They went another way. They walked around the guy. All right? So likewise, he arrived and walked on the other side. But Jesus said, a certain Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along. The Samaritans were like half cousins. They went off into idolatry by marrying women. The men married, there were Jewish people who married the idolatrous women, and they went into idolatry. They went aside. And the Jews wouldn't even go near the Samaritans. But this Jewish guy is laying on the side of the road. He's bloodied, he's beaten, he's robbed, he's stripped naked. And this Samaritan, whom the Jews hate, stopped. There's significance to this, folks. Okay? This man was marginalized. He's on the outside of the road, okay? He's on the side of the road, near death. The certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He had compassion. And he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. How many of you would stop on the side of the road, pick somebody up, let them bloody up your car? There's a question for you. On the next day, when he left this inn, think of a hospital. This was just an inn that was a place to rest. He departed, he took out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper, and he said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. Now, those 2 silver coins were 2 days' wages, okay? Just to put it in real terms of where we are. So, Jesus said, which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Who was the neighbor there? And so the lawyer says, the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do the same. Go and do likewise. Let's pray for a moment. Father, we need to hear from your word today. God, I ask that you would open our ears, open our minds to clear them from every distraction. God, I offer myself to you for your use. I ask that you would give me unction to speak clearly. Pour out your spirit, Father, upon this park, because today, Lord, there are people that are hurting. They're laying on the side of the road, Lord. They're bloody. They're beaten. They've been robbed. And God, they need you. I ask that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that we would comprehend what you bring today, Father. We pray, and all of God's people said, amen. As I said, this is a fictional story. Jesus might have pulled it from some real thing that he learned about. But, you know, by throwing that question back on the lawyer when the lawyer said, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus spun it back on him. He said, what must you do to have eternal life? And the lawyer told him. He already knew the answer. Of course he did. A lot of times the lawyers ask questions, they do know the answer. The man gave him the right answer. And Jesus told him, do this and you'll live. But think about this. The lawyer is hearing Jesus tell this story about a man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And that is the distance maybe from here to Renfrew. It's about 17 miles. And it is a strong descent because the elevation changes greatly in that 17 miles. Jerusalem's at about 2,600 and Jericho's at about 850. And along that traveling route, there's a lot of dangers. One of them was thieves and robbers. And I was really thought that was a curious fact because Jesus regularly criticized lawyers for their illicit behavior. And I'm thinking maybe he's calling the lawyer a robber, okay, in his sly way of doing things. I don't know that. But in that 1,800-foot descent from Jerusalem to Jericho, this traveler was accosted by thieves who stripped him of his clothing, robbed him of any value he had, beat him near to death, and left him laying on the side of the road. I really struggled with this because I thought, well, why don't we see that today? Obviously, we're not seeing people getting beat up and left on the side of the road on a regular basis, right? I mean, that's not happening. But I started to think about the parallels to where we are, and I draw a connection to those who are robbed of everything and left near dead by the purveyors of drugs. I thought about those who are being beaten by the chemicals that are nearly killing them, and in many cases, literally killing them, which is what sparked the event that we're about to embark on today. I brought the idea to the ministerium, serve as the ministerium president, and I brought it to the ministers, and I said, you know what, we've got a serious problem in Butler County. People are dying, and we need to do something about it. And Pastor Mark Wallace and I, we put our heads together, we came up with this idea, and other ministers have jumped in, and we've got tons of people who have put work into this event today. This park is going to be swarming with people for 4 hours at least. And we're going to see some of those people are hurting. Some of those people need help. And we're praying to Almighty God that they get the help that they need. But let's not say they should do something. Let's say we should do something. We have a system that's incapable of freeing those people. Or it's unwilling. I don't know which. Maybe both. As Jesus continued his story, he talks about the highest religious folk of the time coming by and walking away from the guy. Isn't that what the church has done in a large way? Because we're so stigmatized. This whole drug issue is a matter of stigma. Oh, we can't be too close to that one. Anybody who knows me knows. I grew up in the city of Pittsburgh. I have known countless numbers of people who have died from drug addiction. And it angers me that we're not doing something about it. It angers me that we're not doing something more than we are doing. People are dying. And we, the church, the body of Christ, need to stand up and do something about it. That's the truth of it, folks. Jesus knew the law's requirement to love others, and so did that lawyer that he was talking to. And so did those religious guys that walked on the other side of the road. Somebody might say, well, it's too dangerous to stop, Pastor. You know, I might get robbed myself. Those robbers might be right around the corner there. That's a valid statement. Somebody might say, well, I've got a schedule to keep. You know, I'm a busy guy. I'm a busy gal. I got to do what I got to do. I don't have time to help those people. And others might say they didn't want to risk getting dirty, you know, because this guy was beaten and bloody. Who wants to get blood on you, right? Oh, we're afraid of blood now, right? And with good cause. There's a lot of reasons and there's a lot of excuses for why the priest didn't help. There's a lot of reasons and a lot of excuses for why the Levite didn't help. But I'll tell you this, folks, none of them matter. None of them. What matters is that they didn't stop. They didn't help. The Levites were of the tribe of Levi, who was the third son of Jacob and Leah. They were the priests who sang or played music in the temple. They served as guards and they carried holy objects used in worship. They knew the law. They knew the requirements. They knew what they were supposed to do and they didn't do it. They also knew that God's word instructed compassion. God's word is clear about that. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we have these two extremely religious guys who saw this man beaten down and destitute, and they avoided him. But then Jesus tells of a certain Samaritan who was also journeying, traveling. And he came where the man was, and he saw him, and he had compassion. And that is the picture that Christ is trying to convey to all of us. We all must have compassion. It doesn't matter what the situation is, whether it's somebody beat up on the side of the road or it's somebody that's become addicted and they need our help. We need to be there for them. How many religious folks had compassion on that man that fell on hard times. In Jesus' story, none. The Jews saw themselves as pure, but those from Samaria had defiled their blood with idolatrous women. So anyway, this impure man, who was impure to the Jews, he went to the Jewish man and he dressed and bandaged his wounds. He took him to a place of rest. He gave the innkeeper 2 days' wages to take care of the guy. Now, I don't know how much you all make, but 2 days' wages would be hard to part with. But he said, take care of him. Now, if there's any other expenses, I'll take care of him when I come back. And when he finished that story, he asked that lawyer, which one was truly a neighbor? Now, you know the answer because Jesus told him. Yeah, you're right. Because the lawyer said, it's the guy that stopped and helped, the one who had compassion. That's the obvious answer. But how many of us would risk our own safety? How many of us would stop to render aid? How many of us would help to save somebody's life when they've been beaten down, stripped of everything, and near death? Some would say, well, I don't have a chance to do that. But I'd say every day you do. Some would say, no, there's no way, John. I don't have a chance to help somebody who's been beaten, robbed, and left for dead. I can hear people disputing this in their minds. If we can help those who fall into self-destruction by drug addiction, anybody who knows me knows that I will. I'll do whatever I can to help people. We have companies that make powerful chemicals that change the human brain to need those substances. The brains are altered. You go to the doctor, he gives you some pain medicine, the next thing you know, you're hooked and you don't know it. And then you've got to find that medicine, because whenever he cuts you off, you've got to find it some other way. That's what's happening to a lot of people. And these things break people. They beat them down. They rob them of their dignity and their possessions. And not only their possessions, but their family members' possessions. It's an insidious monster. And it's destroying our society. It's destroying our country. Our nation is being destroyed from within. And the church needs to stand up and do something about it. That's why we're here today, to make some kind of a difference. Those drugs leave people in a near-dead state. Like in Jesus' parable, many of the most religious people have turned a blind eye to the problem for decades. This problem isn't a new one, folks. We're seeing the tail end of it, I believe. I think this started back in the 50s and the 60s. Free love. Drugs for everybody. And now we've got this monster. It's a monster of iniquity that's taken over our country from within. The priests and the teachers and the shepherds have largely ignored those who were beaten and robbed and naked. And the most religious, well, they've got schedules to keep, right? They're afraid of danger too, like everybody else. They don't want to get dirt on themselves. We all have reputations to keep, right? After all, we can't help those people. But they'll raise their hands to heaven and sing praises to God every week. Even as countless numbers of people are suffering all around them. Let's look away, right? Blame the one who's fallen into despair. It's his fault. It's her fault. They shouldn't have... whatever. Let's stick with the tried and true strategies that have limited success. Let's not look for new ways to do things, right? Let's ship them off to somebody else to take care of them. No way can the church do anything about this. That's not the church's job. We're supposed to meet in our little steepled buildings. We're supposed to sing our hymns and our songs. We're supposed to preach God's word or some semblance of it. But help those people? No, that's not our job. Well, I'm here to tell you right now, that's a lie straight out of hell. It is our job. We have a responsibility to help. We have a duty by Christ to help each and every individual who has fallen on hard times by this situation or these circumstances or these things that we call drugs. I believe the church must do something to help those who've been beaten and robbed and stripped naked. Let's remember Jesus' message to the lawyer because it applies to each one of us who are hearing this message. Take care of others. Go and do likewise. Those of us who call ourselves followers of Christ have a duty to do exactly that. Oh, but what about the cost? It's expensive to take care of people, right? It costs money. Do like the Samaritan who paid for that Jewish man's care. Reach into your pocket. Take some silver out of your pocket and use it to help somebody. Help them get what they need to recover. As I wrap this up, I'm going to ask you something, okay? What would have happened if nobody stopped to help that guy? What would have happened if nobody stopped in that fictional story? The man would have died. Period. He would have died on the side of the road, stripped naked. No dignity. No possessions. Nothing. That beaten, robbed, and left for dead guy would have died. If everyone turns their head and ignores the problem, anybody who's beaten and robbed and near dead has very little hope of survival. Now, maybe that's okay with you. Maybe it's not your son, or maybe it's not your daughter, or maybe it's not your nephew or niece or your cousin. Maybe it's not your mother or your father. Maybe it's somebody else's. Had a man on Facebook the other day posted a post. He said, I posted something about this event, and he said, we ought to kill them all. I said, seriously? You think that's going to solve the problem? I said, you don't have any children? You don't have any grandchildren? What, you think this doesn't affect you? You don't know anybody whose child or grandchild or nephew or cousin has gotten addicted, has gotten into this situation? You don't know somebody who's been beaten down? You don't know somebody that's lost their life? Kill them all! That's not the answer. The answer is to love them like Jesus. The answer is to give them what Christ said to give them. What they need. They need care. They need love. They need the church to reach out and show them compassion. That's what they need. We have the power to turn things around. I fully believe that. I wouldn't have spent my time doing and helping with this event if I didn't believe that this was going to have some positive effect on people's lives. The event today is a feeble attempt to render aid to those who are hurting. And I really believe we need to help. We need to help people. We have the power. But are we going to hear Jesus when he says, go and do likewise? Go and render aid? This event's the best we can do right now as we sift through the many facets of this complex problem. We see the numbers going down. Praise God for that. We're not losing as many people this year as we've lost last year. But what, should that just make a stop? Oh, well, good, we had an effect. We can go back to singing our songs. We can have our services. We can meet in our pretty little buildings with the steeples on top. No. You know, this robber is masked. And this robber's hidden. The robbery's insidious. Like the robber, it's concealed. And that near-dead man, woman, those near-dead are all around us. You might interact with them every day and not even know it. And they're struggling just to have some sense of normalcy. And they struggle each and every day to get what it is that makes them feel normal again. Because they've been robbed. They've been stripped. Those near dead are all around us, only most of them look very much alive. I want you to make up your mind today to render aid to those who are figuratively lying on the side of the road. beaten, robbed, stripped. I want you to help dress their wounds. I want you to help make sure they stop bleeding. I want you to help them get what they need to recover. And if necessary, I want you to contribute from your own pocket to do it. And then you can tell your Creator, yes, I'll go and do likewise. I'm not going to turn my blind eye to what's happening. I'm going to be a part of the solution. I'm going to be a part of the answer. I want to help. And I want each and every one of you to help. Everybody who's within the sound of my voice, all who hear this message, whether it be online or on the CDs, we can make a difference. The Church of Jesus Christ is a living organism. It's a body here on earth, and it needs to work together. We need to break down those lines that divide us. We need to get rid of those sectarian things, the differences. We need to come together. We need to work together. We need to be the body of Christ, not a hand, not a foot. Christ is the head. We need to work together under Christ and allow Him to guide our efforts. Allow Him to give us what we need to do to be a part of that solution so that we can render aid to those who are beaten, who are robbed, who are stripped. And we will all be able to turn to Him on that day when we face Him and say, yes, Lord, I did likewise. And I believe that's all He's asking from us. And I think that's the message that He gave for me to give to you all today. So let's pray. Father, help us to surrender to You. Help us to be Your people who render aid, Lord, to those who need it. Help us not to turn a blind eye to those who are laying, even though it's only a figurative laying, Lord. Those who are suffering. Those who are dying. Help us to be the ones that do what we can. Whatever it is. And God, we ask that You would unite Your body. That You would take Your ministers and have them work more closely together, Father, as we are today here in this park. That Your force, Your life, Your power would be seen and known in this community and beyond. That we could have a powerful effect upon this issue of drugs and addiction. And that maybe next year when we're here, we could say the numbers have gone down again. Keep Your people praying, Lord. Keep Your people doing what it is that You have for them to do to make this all come together today and beyond, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I don't have any more music. I could probably try to sing, but I don't have the words, so... You know what? I do have at least a verse. All of my friends that I loved yesterday, gone home, gone home. The songbird that sings in the dell seems to say, gone home, gone home. They've joined the heavenly fold. They're walking the streets of pure gold. They left one by one as their work here was done. Gone home, gone home. Amen. Oh, yeah, we could receive an offering if anybody wants to supply something. Thank you, John. I forgot all about that. We'll close in prayer. Father, we thank You. You brought us together here in this park today, Lord, and we're praying to bring You glory. That everything that's done and everything that's said, Lord, and all the information that's conveyed here, we glorify Your name, we pray, in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. That's all, folks.